Now, more of That Is Good to Know. Continuing with today's program, here's Jeff Stanislow.
Hey, Tampa Bay, this is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to AM 1040, the host of my radio show, That Is Good to Know. www.thatisgoodtoknow. You can check it out and all these wonderful episodes that we've been bringing to you every weekend here in Tampa for, man, the last 6-9 months almost. And we've really been enjoying doing the show. We actually have a returning guest from the first segment that's joining us again because it's such a big topic, and you know, we need to break it down kind of into, you know, some understandable bite-sized things that are going on. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know, and Royce Pope, partner at DeFi Lava, is returning again. Thanks again, Royce, for joining us.
Yep, great to be here.
So, in our last episode, we tried to, I think we did a decent job of kind of laying the groundwork for cryptocurrencies and, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum and blockchain and kind of how they all work together. But, you know, if someone's just tuning into this segment, I wanted to kind of give a quick recap on, you know, kind of like if someone said, hey, it's an elevator ride, you got a minute or two to kind of explain what this whole crypto world is. Why don't we do that? And then we're going to dive in further to some, you know, great stuff about like the markets and, you know, the growth and the adoption. And we're going to talk about some new fun things like real world assets and what's going on with, you know, that type of stuff when it comes down to tokens and crypto. So again, Royce Pope, DeFi Lava, www.defilava.com. Give us a kind of a recap of our first episode, if you would, Royce.
Yeah, sure. So crypto is it was started in 2009 with the launch of Bitcoin by an anonymous person or entity called Satoshi Nakamoto. And the goal of that was to create a peer-to-peer cash system that was 100% digital. So, you know, it's digital money that doesn't rely on banks. It's completely peer-to-peer without any third parties. And then later on, we had Ethereum launch in 2014 or 2015. And that added a programmable element, a conditional element to this world of crypto where you could program a condition in, you know, if I bet $10, Jeff bets $10. If the Lightning win or lose, if the Lightning win, I get the $20. If the Lightning lose, Jeff gets the $20. That's a condition that you can place and program into the Ethereum blockchain or a transaction on the Ethereum blockchain. And from there, this has kind of grown into, it's a 24/7 global market that kind of operates like the stock market, but it's global and 24/7, like I said. So that's pretty much what crypto is. And everything runs on a blockchain. So it's just a list of transactions that records all the data, and there's a decentralized network that stores all the data and keeps track of everything. So that's, you know, that's as simply as I can put it, I think.
Okay. Now, let's you know, kind of pivot. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know, talking to Royce Pope, who's a seasoned consulting professional in the crypto, Bitcoin, you know, blockchain space. He's a partner at DeFi Lava. It's www.defilava.com. It's great to have you here, Royce. But I guess, you know, you have a decent amount of experience in the real world and what's going on. How would you kind of explain crypto in this space into, you know, kind of a layman's term so they would understand it? I've heard, you know, people kind of, you know, talk about, you know, different ways to explain it. What's the best way you explain it to, let's say you sat down with your grandma and she's like, what are you doing, young Royce? Right. You know, tell me about what you're doing. And you say, well, I'm doing cryptos, grandma. She's like, what the heck is that? You know, so you know, try to explain.
I actually did that the other day. It was pretty funny. My grandma is actually in town. She was in town for Mother's Day. So, No, I was trying to explain crypto to a 93-year-old. So
how'd it go? Let's hear the conversation, and we're going to dive into some more stuff.
Yeah. So I basically just told her that it's basically like the stock market, but anybody can participate in the world, and it runs 24/7. And anybody can create a crypto, and they can create a utility for that. And they can create their own project, and it's a big ecosystem of people competing, and trying to get attention onto the project that they're developing. And, it really is just a 24/7 global stock market, and, it moves very, very fast, and anybody can participate.
And okay, that's kind of good, you know? And what was her response?
You know, I think she feigned a little bit of understanding.
Sounds good, Sonny. Sounds good, Sonny. I love you, Royce.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, all right. Royce Pope, DeFi Lava, www.defilava.com. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. Our first episode, we kind of talked higher level when it came down to the industry. It's still like, you know, up in the air what people call it, you know, crypto, they call it blockchain, they call it Bitcoin, you know, it's kind of all encompassing as we're trying to, you know, carve out and figure out what exactly each of them do and what have you. And it's still in its infancy, but let's just talk a little bit about, like, you know, the growth of the market space, and just like, you know, maybe talk about, like, you know, when it, I think you mentioned when it started, but let's, you know, what about the adoption of cryptocurrencies? What's the market cap of cryptocurrencies, and, you know, and how long did it take to get there?
Yeah. So Bitcoin, like I said, it launched in 2009, and it's, you know, it wasn't worth anything for about 6 months right after it launched. And then people started sort of finding it, you know, people deep in the web, people, you know, developers and things. And it started monetizing. But from there, it's grown into, like I said, it's a 24/7 global stock market. It's worth about $3 trillion in total right now. That's Bitcoin, Ethereum, and every other altcoin.
Since when? 2019?
2009.
Okay. So it took a little while to adopt, but that's to go to 3 trillion in that time frame is pretty right. Impressive.
Right. So just to kind of, as a frame of reference, Bitcoin went to a trillion market cap by itself a decade faster than anything has ever done that. You know, Apple, Microsoft, all these other types of companies that have reached close or beyond that market cap. Bitcoin did it much faster. So the rate of adoption has been pretty impressive. And just as a kind of a size comparison, just so you can think about it, crypto is a $3 trillion market cap in total. And that's a 24/7 global market. And the US stock market by itself is about $100 trillion. So it's very small, and it covers a much larger expanse of traders. So it's very much still, you know, a new interesting thing that is, you know, it's by no means completely adopted or completely regulated or anything like that at this point.
Okay. What, so that's some tremendous growth. You know, tell us about, like, some of the industry's challenges or even people's mindset challenges when it comes down to Bitcoin, you know, just talking with people out and friends and what have you, if the subject comes up, you know, you just get the, like, I don't even, what does it do? You know, how do I, you know, I can't, you know, pull it out of my, you know, my wallet, or, you know, I can't do anything with it. I don't really understand it. So what's your kind of response? And we're talking with Royce Pope, partner at DeFiLava.com.
Yeah, so you kind of hit the nail on the head there with Bitcoin. A lot of people's response to it is, well, I don't see how it's valuable. I don't, you know, I can't pick it up. I can't see it. I can't, you know, I can't build something with it or whatever. And that's, you know, my response to that is, well, all of your money is already digital anyway. How many, you know, you might carry a little bit of cash, but all your entire net worth is digital, right? Besides the house that you own, maybe, you know, all your stock portfolio is digital. All the money in your bank is digital. All the money you spend day to day is digital with your credit cards, your debit cards. So everything is already digital. So I don't see that as a very viable pushback. I think what people are really interested in is, you know, what's the value of something digital that's not maybe backed by the U.S. government, right? Because the U.S. dollar is backed by the U.S. government, and other currencies are backed by other governments. So it's interesting because people say, I don't understand what's valuable about Bitcoin. And my response is, you don't see what's valuable about something that you can, about a store of value that is completely liquid, completely anonymous. You can take it anywhere in the world. You could take $1 billion. You can move $1 billion of it for $40 from here to China and back with basically no fees. You can do all these things with it that you can't do with any other asset class, right? Try moving $1 billion of gold from here to China. Try moving $1 billion of oil from here to China.
Okay.
Try moving $1 billion of digital USD from here to China. It's going to be basically impossible. So
I'll give it a shot. Someone give me $1 billion, you know, I'll give it a good right. college effort. You know, we'll try to figure something out. It might not get there, but we'll give it a shot. This is Jeff Stanislow, right. And we're talking with Royce Pope. Royce is the partner at DeFi Lava. And you're listening to That Is Good to Know. Visit our show website at www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. We're having a really good conversation about a topic that is of a lot of interest, but is also not very widely known by a lot of people. And thanks for sharing your expertise with us, Royce. We appreciate it. And I think that example about trying to move, you know, $1 billion worth of oil, try to do that. So you're finished up on that story, and where does this, you know, where does that leave us? We can't do that, or I mean, it would take a right. you know, a monumental effort and figure, you know, shipping right. it over and getting containers and months of travel and all that good jazz. What, tell us a little bit about what that solution looks like, you know, using Bitcoin.
Right. So I mentioned in the first segment that Bitcoin has been officially ruled a commodity. It's a digital commodity. So comparing it to gold, oil, and these types of things is a very accurate analogy, right? And so one of the challenges with commodities is it's very difficult to store a lot of it, and it's very difficult to move a lot of it, right? So Bitcoin being a digital commodity, it's very easy to move and it's very easy to store. You know, if you had a large amount of gold, you'd have to pay shipping costs. You'd have to pay storage costs. With Bitcoin, you can hold it forever for nothing. You can move it for very, very little fees. So in that one aspect, it's a far superior store of value than any other commodity. And then I'd like to also mention something where there's this concept called elasticity in economics with regards to commodities and goods and services. And all that means is that demand affects supply and vice versa, right? So if the demand for something goes up, then the supply will also go up. So if the price of gold is going higher and higher and higher, all the people in the world who own gold mining companies, they start to mine more gold because it's profitable to do so. And that in turn puts downwards pressure on the price of gold because they're dumping more supply into the available circulating supply.
Okay. Right? Okay.
With Bitcoin is the only commodity where the supply is not affected by the demand. So there's an absolutely limited amount of Bitcoin that will ever exist. There's only 21 million coins that will ever exist. So if the demand for Bitcoin goes 10x, the supply remains constant. And what that does is it creates – it greatly amplifies the power of the demand for the commodity, because you can't satisfy increasing demand with increasing supply. So it's much easier to store. It's much easier to move. It can't be destroyed. That's another thing.
Okay.
Theoretically, you could lose your gold. It could be destroyed somehow.
How can it not be destroyed, Royce? Tell me about the safeguards, right, or why it can't be destroyed,
Because it's digital. So it's,
they can unplug
at the end of the day,
unplug a computer, it's gone. People lost things from their phones or they don't know where it went. So got to give me a little bit more than that, Royce.
Right. Well, firstly, at the end of the day, it's Bitcoin is information. It's a ledger, right?
Okay.
There's 21 million coins, and all the coins are being tracked by a decentralized network. So you said, unplug a computer or whatever. You could unplug 50% of all the computers that are connected to Bitcoin, and nothing would happen to any of the Bitcoin. Because it's a decentralized network, right? There's no central single point of failure. There's millions of computers that are completely equal to each other, all running the same blockchain.
Okay. Is that when they talk about miners? This is Jeff Stanislaw, your host of That Is Good to Know. Visit our site, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. We are so grateful and thankful to be on the air here at AM 1040 on the weekends. Our guest, Royce Pope from DeFi Lava, is talking with us about crypto and Bitcoin and all these new digital market stuff. But, you had mentioned two things that I wanted to ask about. One was the ledger. And then two, you talk about computer networks and stuff like that. And, this that takes resources and is expensive and energy. I think that's, mining. Maybe you can kind of tackle both those for us.
Sure. So the Bitcoin miners are connected to the blockchain, and what they're doing is they're securing the network. So that is the process of Bitcoin mining. It simply means that these miners are securing the protocol for Bitcoin. So they're ensuring that the blockchain's integrity is maintained. And so every coin is accounted for and all the transactions are running smoothly. And they do that by running the cryptography that Satoshi Nakamoto designed for Bitcoin. So if you imagine there's a spread out network of computers, and the next Bitcoin transaction or the next group of transactions is coming through on the next block in the chain. That's why they call it a blockchain. And so what these miners do is they compete to obtain the ability to quote unquote mine the next block in the chain. So I realize this is getting a bit technical, but it's all that means is they are approving transactions for Bitcoin. And when you approve a transaction, you get a reward in Bitcoin.
Okay.
So that there's an incentive for miners to do a good job to secure the network.
Okay.
And then you get rewarded for approving new Bitcoin transactions.
Layman's mind and the way I kind of think. So I so if I was to record something on my spreadsheet and I said, I'm going to save that forever, and I'm going to take that same spreadsheet and it's going to get saved by millions of other computers across, so everybody has the same information and they validate that the information on my spreadsheet is correct.
Right.
And I get rewarded for doing that, in essence, or, we call it paid, or, that is the kind of mining structure. And then when everybody gives consensus and says, yeah, that's right, then I could get rewarded a payment in Bitcoin for doing that work. Is that kind of a good way to think
about it? That's a great way to think about it. And the only thing I would add in there is with Bitcoin, the way it works is you have to save that information quicker than anybody else does, because everyone is competing to be the first one to validate that information. Ah. So if you're the first one to do it, then you get the reward.
Gotcha. So like, you know, yeah. Royce, if you're taking a look at our conversation that we're having today, this is Jeff Stanislaw, your host of That Is Good to Know, www.thatisgoodtoknow.com here on AM 1040. Royce Pope, a partner at DeFi Lava, and his site is DeFi, D-E-F-I, Lava, L-A-V-A.com. We might be still in the kind of 101 territory here, but a little bit, yeah. You know, better understanding. And I'd love to have you maybe come back, you know, and we can dive into more of this, because it really is intriguing and interesting to me.
Sure.
We got a few minutes left, you know, as we kind of recap and looking at what we want to try to accomplish in those few minutes, is maybe tell us a little bit about your background and what you do at DeFi Lava.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I started my company right out of school. I graduated from college in 2021, and, you know, I had gotten into crypto during college, and, you know, I fell in love with the markets and the economics of things. And I believe that it's only going to get bigger, and it's only going to help solve a lot of the problems that we're seeing in the world right now, inflation and other problems. And so I wanted to make it safe and easy for people to be able to learn and take advantage of these markets. And I do that on a service-based consulting basis for people, whether they want to, you know, build their own portfolio or they want to buy a significant amount of Bitcoin. You know, I facilitate all those things for people. So, you know, I do institutional brokerage, and I do, you know, managed accounts, and something I call digital gold storage, where you can hold a lot of Bitcoin for a long time with maximum security. So like you were saying, you know, you unplug a computer, you can lose stuff or whatever. That can never happen if you store your Bitcoin correctly. So we set everything up for people in the best way possible. So, you know, it's really just about, it's about helping people get ahead of these trends and to take advantage of the space safely and easily.
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks, Royce. That's really good to know. Again, all this, and everything we do here, that is good to know, .com, whether it's, you know, talking to people that are, working with nonprofits, people like Royce, or, you know, we always recommend, we are not the experts, we're just sharing some information with you. We always recommend that you consult your experts in the space, you know, whether it's legal, whether it's accounting, whether it's financial, you know, whether it is anything that you got that's important to you. You know, we're here to share the information and give you some stuff to think about. But definitely consult with your professional advisors. You know, Royce, we got about a minute left. Why don't you tell us, like, you know, what excites you, you know, right now, and what excites you in 5 years from now when it comes down to, you know, this whole crypto Bitcoin space, you know, in a nutshell. Yeah. And then we're going to have you back and we'll talk further about, you know, actual tokens and some more market stuff. But, you know, what really excites you? What drives you to get up every day and do this?
Sure. So what excites me right now is that we're seeing legitimacy and adoption with Bitcoin and soon Ethereum. So that's kind of so we saw that in January with the approval of the Bitcoin ETFs. And so that is BlackRock and all the other financial institutions like Fidelity saying, yes, Bitcoin is a real financial asset. It's a real thing with value, and we're going to make this accessible to people, and we're also going to be acquiring it ourselves.
So that
the next step is.
So that really excites you, Royce, as far as like institutional adoption. Well, we're going to cut it short here, Royce. This is Jeff Stanislaw with thatisgoodtoknow.com. Again, Royce Pope, DeFi Lava, DeFiLava.com. Thank you, Tampa, for listening in. Until next weekend.